Okay, who are we still waiting on? Is everyone here? Sugam? Well, let's begin. I want us to read our passage first, and then we'll pray. Open to John chapter 1. John chapter 1. We're not going to read the whole chapter. It's quite long. We're going to just read verses 1 to 18. And the main verse will be verse 14, but really this whole section goes together. All these verses are related. So let's read and then pray. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness, to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but he came to bear witness about the light. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness about him and cried out, "This was he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me ranks before me, because he was before me.' And from his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, the only God who is at the Father's side. He has made him known." Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we want this time to be for you, for your glory. Take our minds, take our thoughts, and put them upon these heavenly things. Thank you for Jesus Christ. Thank you for this word written for us, for our instruction, for our salvation, for our encouragement. Lord, I pray that you would help us today to understand your word, to receive it, to believe it, to hold it fast in our hearts. Oh, Father, thank you for all that you've promised to do. As we trust in you, Lord, there is nothing that can harm us, nothing that can separate us from Christ. Your word is true, and we want to believe it again today. Father, I pray you would give ears to hear and give me utterance and help me to speak forth your words clearly and with courage and strength, with your authority. Lord, let your spirit be at work in our hearts. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. We read John chapter 1, these first few verses. And I want, Lord willing, to go through the book of John, if God allows and gives us the time. Here in a psalm, we'll go through it chapter by chapter like we did through the book of Matthew about a year and a half ago, 2 years ago. So, we're starting at the beginning. John is one of the Gospels. The Old Testament is God's Word that teaches us the things God was showing and revealing before Jesus came, so that we would be prepared to understand Jesus when he came. Without the Old Testament, we don't have a foundation. And God wanted to put teaching in categories in the mind of man and reveal himself slowly. The New Testament starts with these four books about the life of Jesus Christ. And so we're reading John's book, John's Gospel. It doesn't have all the stories. None of the Gospels have all the stories. There's so many stories about what Jesus did that you can't write them all down. But John wrote what he wrote so that we would believe in Christ and realize who he is. And we're going to, Lord willing, go through this whole book and grow in our understanding of Christ and our love for Christ. But we have to start at the beginning. If you buy a book from the store, you don't turn to the middle of the book and start reading. You always start at the beginning. We're at the beginning of the book, and some people might call this the introduction. Or they might call it the prologue. Prologue means the first word. This is the first thing that John wants to tell us. And he says this, John 1, verse 1, he says that Jesus is God. Read it again. 1:1. In the beginning, which means the beginning of time, the beginning of the world, before the world ever was. In the very beginning was the Word, capital W. What Word? What is the Word? The Word is a person. The Word was with God. And the Word was God. So you have God. We all know God. God is the creator. God is the ultimate being. God is the source of life. Of course, God would be in the beginning. Before anything else was, God would be there. God has no beginning and no end. He's eternal. But the Word was with him always. The Word had no beginning. The Word was in the beginning with God. And the Word was God. So this is strange, but it's true. The Word was separate from God because it says with Him, which means two, the Word and God. But then the Word was not separate from God. The Word was God. They're one. And this is a foundational teaching of the Bible, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are one. Three in one, three persons, one God. Each fully God. Each, you can say, was God and was in the beginning. We were not in the beginning. This earth was not in the beginning. The angels were not in the beginning. Nothing was in the beginning except God Himself. And here it doesn't say the name Jesus, but that's who the Word means. Our main verse is verse 14, where it says, "The Word became flesh." This Word that was with God and was God became flesh, became a man. That's Jesus. And we see His name appear in verse 29. The next day He saw Jesus coming toward Him and said, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." Jesus is the Word, and Jesus is God, and was with God. So this is how John starts his book. If you were going to write from all the stories you heard, if you were going to write a book and give it to unbelievers to teach them about the life of Jesus, how would you start your book? Chapter 1, verse 1, what would you say? He wants people to know, I'm going to write a book about the life of Jesus, what He said, what He did, how He died, how He rose again. But the first thing I want you to know is who He is. He is the eternal God. He's not any different than God. He's not any less than God. He's not created by God. He was in the beginning with God always. And everything that was created, look in verse 3, was created through Him. And without Him, there was nothing created. Jesus, it was through Jesus, through the Son of God, through the Word of God, that everything was made. The Father created everything through His Son. So this is really important. And, you know, honestly, I was shocked when I realized, after reading these four Gospels, it occurred to me a few years ago, all of the Gospels begin this way. Matthew chapter 1, it says, Jesus is Emmanuel, God is with us. Mark chapter 1, verse 1, the Gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Luke chapter 1, he says to Mary, the angel says, He will be the Son of the Most High, the Son of God. He shall be called holy. All of the Gospels, all of the stories about the life of Jesus, they start this way. Very strong, very clear. You must realize who He is. He was with God in the beginning. He is one with God. He is fully God. He is the Son of God, and John says He is the Word of God. That's who He is. And that's who we worship, and that's who we believe. We don't follow a man. We don't worship a man. We don't follow a teacher. We don't follow the course of this world. We need to know God and follow Him and trust Him, and that's what a Christian is, someone who knows the Lord. Why does it call Him the Word? Well, this is what I think this first part of the chapter is about. It teaches us this. Why does it say the Word? Because Jesus is the only one that reveals who God is. If you want to speak, if you want to communicate, you have to use words. Jesus is the Word. If you want to hear from God, you have to hear the Word. If you want to know God, you need to hear His words. He needs to speak to you. And the way He does that is through Jesus. In another place, Colossians chapter 1, it calls Him the image. The image of God. Do you want to see God? Then you need to see Jesus. He is the image of the invisible God. He is the Word that reveals God, which I believe is why it says in verse 18, no one has ever seen God. The only God, this is Jesus, who is at the Father's side, He has made Him known. He has declared Him. He has revealed Him. So this is my message today. We're starting in John 1, and the message is this. Jesus is God revealed. Jesus shows us who God is. Without Jesus, God would be far away. God would be incomprehensible. God would be invisible. Jesus is His Word. Jesus is His image. And He is fully God. It's not like someone small and someone weak trying to represent someone great. And they maybe can show you a little bit what He's like. Like the shadows in the Old Testament. They teach you a little bit about salvation. Hebrews says He is the exact representation of His nature. The perfect image of God. No mistakes. Nothing missing. Nothing left out. The perfect image of God. The perfect Word of God. Is Jesus. You can't improve it. You can't add anything to it. It's exactly how God is. That's why John would write this book. Because he has found something so great. He has found God. Now John knew Jesus. You remember? He's one of his disciples. This is John, the beloved disciple that leaned on his bosom at the Last Supper, that walked with him and slept with him and ate with him and spent years with him. This was John that Jesus said at the end of his life, he said, woman, behold your son. Son, behold your mother. This is that same John. He found something so great. He found a treasure that he wrote this book by the Holy Spirit to tell the world that Jesus is fully God and he is the one that shows us God. Look at what it says later in the chapter. Chapter 1. And verse 45. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, we have found him of whom Moses in the law and all the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. This is what they were saying when the disciples met Christ. When they started to realize who he is, they were saying, we found him. We found him. And here, I would say to you today, God is found in Jesus. Do you know God? I know God. I found him. John knows God. John found him. Where can you find God? Where is God? Who is God? If anyone wants the answer to that question, who is God? Where is God? You can tell them, as a believer, I found him. We found him. Jesus of Nazareth. Now, we don't have time to go through this whole section. It's 18 verses long. That would take many hours. And there's many questions. So let me say this at the beginning. As I teach from the book of John, if any of you have any questions of something in the chapter or something in the section that I don't mention, after it's over, or any time during the week, you can ask. Ask me, what does this verse mean? You didn't mention that in your sermon. You didn't mention that last Sunday. But I don't understand. If you have any questions today, you can ask me after the service is finished. I can't talk about everything, but what I tried to think was, in this first few paragraphs, what is the main point? And I believe it is that Jesus shows us God. And I think there's two ways that men respond to Jesus when they meet him. And I want to focus on these two things. Those that knew him and those that did not know him. Those that rejected him, did not believe, and then those that accepted him and believed. And if you read through these verses, it kind of comes up back and forth, about faith and unbelief, about the light and the darkness. And so I think John knew this. John was writing this book, his gospel, and he was already an old man. There had already been many churches started, but he knew when he preaches the gospel, some people, when they hear about Jesus, they realize, they understand, they see God, and they're saved, and they become children of God. Other people, they hear the message, they read the scriptures, they think Jesus is nothing. He's nothing special. And so these are two kinds of responses to the message, and John says it in the very beginning because he knows everyone who reads this book, you must decide, will you accept Christ or will you reject Christ? Will you believe in him and give him your soul and give him everything and trust him fully, or will you stay away from him? That's what you must decide. Jesus is like a fork in the road. And there's two paths. You can follow him or you can reject him. He is the light. You can either go to the light or walk in the darkness. And you will go either one or the other way. He divides all of humanity. He divides history. There's only two kinds of people. Those that know God and those that don't know God. Those that know Jesus Christ and those that, by not knowing Jesus Christ, they do not know God. So, look first at verse 10 and 11. These are the people that don't know. These are the people that are confused and unbelieving. He was in the world, that is the Word. And the world was made through him. Yet the world did not know him. Isn't that amazing? God, the creator of the mountains and the rivers and the oceans and all the people and all the animals and the sun and the stars. God, the one that gives life and breath to all of us and everything. The source of life. He became a man and he was born in our world and he lived in our world. And yet, the people did not know that he was God. They didn't realize when they looked at him, this is the one that made me. This is the one that made the mountains. Jesus is the one that made the Himalayas. They looked at him, they didn't realize that. Jesus is the one that named all the stars. They looked at him, and they didn't believe. They didn't recognize him. Verse 11, he came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. His own might refer to the Jews. He was a Jew. He came to the Jews. God in the Old Testament had been speaking to the Jews, and the Jews didn't believe the Son of God, the Messiah. They didn't believe him. Or you could say he came to his own, that is, his own creation. Everyone in the world gets their life and birth from God. Everyone belongs to God. And he came to them, and they didn't believe him or receive him either. This is the first response. There are some people, when they hear Jesus, when they read about Jesus, when they see Jesus, they don't recognize, they don't believe, they don't understand, and they are in the darkness. He is the light, but they are in darkness. And when he comes, they don't want the light. They don't come to the light. They stay in the darkness. But there's a different group. Believers. Those that are saved. Look at verse 14. The Word became flesh. God became a man and dwelt among us. This sounds a lot like verse 10. He made the world, and he came into the world. But verse 10 says, and the world didn't know him. But verse 14 says, and we saw his glory. Glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. So put these two together. If you put them together, it's something like this. Jesus Christ made the world, came into the world, became flesh, dwelt among us, and some did not know him, but some saw his glory and knew he was the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. The light has come into the world, the true light. Not the light like the prophets, not the light like John the Baptist. They're just little preachers. They're not the true light. This is the true Word of God. Everything he said was perfect. Everything that he said was fully divine. He came into the world, and some people did not recognize him, and other people said, he has glory. He is the only Son from the Father. He's full of grace and truth. So I put it to you today, at the very beginning of this book, where are you? Which group are you in? Are you in the group that doesn't recognize Jesus as being fully God, 100% God? Have you seen the glory of Jesus? Or are you in the group that has believed, that has seen, that has tasted his grace and truth and cherished it in your heart? Beware which way you go. Many people go the way of rejecting Jesus. But John wrote this, and I'm preaching today so that you will believe. He is the Son of God. He is the image of God. He is fully the Word of God. Let me say something for a while about those that are in the darkness, the unbelievers. This might be Hindus and Muslims. This might be false Christians. This could be an atheist. Someone says, I don't take any religion. I don't believe in any God. Every person, until they know Christ and trust Christ, every person is in the darkness. And verse 10 says this. There's two elements I want to bring out. One is, they do not know. Yet the world did not know him. Unbelievers are those who do not know. They don't know God. Do you know God? If you're not saved, you do not know God. You cannot say, yeah, I know God, no. Unless you know Christ, unless you have come to the light, you do not know God, and you're in the darkness. The Bible says the Gentiles do not know God. Every man in his heart, from the time he's born, has this problem of sin. Because of his sin and his evil, he's separated from God and he doesn't know God. Where is God? Who is God? Now, there are some things that you don't have to know, and it's okay. If you don't know how many stars are in the sky, do you know how many stars are in the sky? That's okay if you don't know. If you don't know, I don't know. If you don't know about cricket, when I came to India, I saw cricket on TV. I didn't know anything about cricket. How do you play cricket? What's cricket? We don't see this in America. That's okay. Cricket's not very important. I don't know the rules of cricket. If you don't know the name of all the rivers in Assam, or you don't know where the Brahmaputra River starts, where does it start? Where does it come from? I don't know. That's okay. You can still go to the river, enjoy the water, have a nice life. There's many things, if you don't know, if you're ignorant, there's no problem. But some things, if you don't know, it's dangerous. It's very dark and sad. It's a big problem. For example, if you don't know about medicine and you're sick, you don't know what medicine to take. You see a bottle, I don't know if this will help me or not, and you take it, you could die. Or if you know the right kind and you take it, you can live. You can find medicine that will heal you. That's important. Your life depends on knowledge. There's some knowledge that's very important that people try very hard to study and to know. Doctors study medicine for years to try to save people's life. Or you, if you don't know the street or the road that goes to your home, how will you get home? If you don't know the way, you will be lost. Imagine walking through Guwahati and everywhere you go, you don't know anyone, you don't know the language, you don't know the streets, and you want to go home, but you don't know the way home. That's important. Some things you need to know, but think about this. Is it important to know who God is? It's very important to know who God is. That is the most important thing in life. If you don't know that, you don't know anything. The knowledge of God. You need to know Him. Who is He? Why did He make me? Why did He give me life? Why was I born here? What is my purpose? Where is God? Who is God? What does He want? And man that is outside of Jesus Christ does not know God. They may say, I know God. They may say the word God. Or maybe they say Bhagavan or Allah. But they don't know Him. Jesus is the Word. To speak to us, to teach us, to show us who God is. There's many religions in the world. That in and of itself shows you that man does not know God. If all man truly knew God, then you would only have one religion. Isn't that right? But there's many religions, not just three or four. There's thousands of religions in the world. And you go to every different place, and they call God by a different name, and they believe different things, and they do different things to try to make God happy. It's a sign. All these religions are a sign that men do not know who God is. And they're trying to come up with ideas and plans and rules and write books and scriptures and teaching and magic words and different things to try to find God, to try to please God, but it won't work. Man is a sinner. Man is separated from God, and he cannot grab God in heaven and pull God down to the earth and study God like he's studying a science book. Man is not over God. Man is not in control of God. We need God to speak to us. God is above us, and he must show himself and reveal himself. How sad it is that many people, think about this, they're born in a family and they follow their parents' religion, but it's only a name. They only have a name for their God, but they don't truly know him. So they go to the temple, or they go to their little building, or they go out on top of a mountain to pray to their name, to speak to their name, and there's no God listening to them when they pray. They're praying to no one. They're praying to nothing. How sad it is to live your life and have a name for God, but it's not the true God, and just to think, I don't know much, but I know this name. My parents told me this is God's name. And to live your life that way, you know, that's how most people live. How sad it is to grow up, maybe think of someone growing up in a Muslim family, or a Hindu or a Buddhist family, or even a false Christian family, like a Catholic family, and they grow up, and they, from their parents and from their school, they teach them rules. Do this, don't do this. Give this kind of special sacrifice. Pray this special prayer, these magic words, and your life will be good. But deep in their heart, they don't know who God is. The only reason why they go to the temple, the only reason why they pray those special prayers or give those special sacrifice or do this special puja is because that's what their parents say. That's what the schools say. That's what the priest says. And what they hear, they believe. I go to the Catholic Church. The Pope says this. The priest says this. That's what I believe. But they don't know God. How sad to live your life following rules, but not know God as a person, not know God as Father in heaven. You can just be sure of it. Whenever someone is following a religion or believing what their parents teach them only because it's what their parents say. Maybe they never read the Quran, they never read the Hindu books, they never read anything. They're just believing because that's what my parents believe. You can be sure it's false. It's dead. There's no God behind that. There's no relationship there. It's not true. That's why we need Jesus Christ. We need him because he will show us truly and deeply who God is. Out of all of the choices in the world, who is God? Some people say God is like this. Some people say God is like this. Some people say we're all God. Everything is God. And there's all these different ideas. Which one is true? Which one is right? They don't agree. And you can spend your whole life searching and searching, but by your own wisdom, you will never find God. You need God to tell you what is right. You need God to show you himself. Just like I've said before, if God wanted to reveal himself, he could make a house like he made the earth and put you in it. And just by looking around at the house, you would see something of the beauty, the wisdom of the designer and the creator. He did that. If God wanted you to know him better, he could write you a letter and he could give it to you and you could read it and read his words. He did that. He gave us the Bible. But if you really want to know God, truly and deeply, if you really want to know someone, you need to meet them face to face. And that's why Jesus Christ became a man, to clearly reveal God in person, face to face. Now, he was revealed in the Old Testament, but it was not clear. It was like a shadow. It was dark. It was like a fuzzy picture. You're not seeing clearly. You see the shape. You see the form. But when Jesus came, he was full of grace and truth. He revealed God in a special way. Can you settle for less than knowing God? If you live your whole life and you never know God and you're never the friend of God, will you be okay in your heart and your mind? If you can settle for less, if you can say, I don't need God, that is a great sin. It's evil to say, I don't need God, I don't want God, I don't care about God, I don't want to know God. When I was lost, that was my whole life. I didn't care, I didn't know, I didn't want to know. I wasn't searching, I wasn't seeking. That is the great sin that is on every man. No love for God. If you loved him, you would seek him. If you confess that I don't really know him, I don't really know who God is, then why don't you search for him? Why don't you seek him? If you don't, it's proof you don't love him. You don't want to know him. And that's a sin. In Psalm 53, God looks down from heaven upon the sons of men to see if there is anyone who is searching for God, and there is no one good. No one understands. No one seeks for God. That's the state of the world. That's why when Jesus came, many people, they didn't believe. He was the light. He was the image. He was the Word of God. But they didn't believe because in their hearts, they were in darkness. Not knowing God, not only does it mean, the first aspect is you don't understand. You've not had the right teaching. You've not had the truth in your mind. But the second aspect of being lost, of being outside of Christ, is you are in the darkness. And that's deeper. Look in verse 5. The light shines in the darkness. And the darkness has not overcome it. Well, another way you can translate this, and I think maybe the better way from the context, the darkness has not understood it. The darkness has not comprehended it. Now, it's true, the darkness cannot defeat the light. Satan cannot defeat God. I believe that. But I think in this context, in this part of the chapter, what we're really seeing is that those that are in the darkness did not see the light. They did not believe in the light. They did not accept the light. They didn't understand it when it came. Why? Because they weren't smart? Because they weren't educated? No, that's not the problem. The problem is not that I don't know how to read. I've not had an education. No, the problem is sin in the heart. Darkness is more than just not knowing. Darkness means you don't want to know. It means even when you do see the light, you're afraid of the light. You run away from the light. You're ashamed of sin, and so you hide from God. And that's true. Men saw the beauty in Christ many times, but they hated him and were jealous. And they stood away from him because of sin in their heart. They knew he was from God. They knew no one could do the miracles that he did. They knew his teaching was right. But they wouldn't follow him because their sin was deep in their heart. And they're in the dark with the devil. That's the problem. Men have consciences. Even the man in the jungle. Even the man on the farthest island with no churches, he has a conscience. And even when he knows it's wrong, to steal, to fight, to murder, to commit adultery. He goes against the light. He suppresses the truth. Are you in that group of not knowing God personally as a relationship with God and resisting God, resisting the truth? This message is for you. Come to Christ. He is the Savior, the Son of God. Now, the last part I want to talk about is knowing Him. What does it mean to know God? Those of you that are saved, do you know God? How do you know God? How does John know God? How do I know God? How is it that Christians can see the invisible God? Well, now think of this. I was very encouraged when I started studying this. Not through miracles, not through dreams, not through voices whispering in our ears, not even by seeing the resurrection of Jesus. For most did not see it, and we've not seen it. And even when the disciples saw it, many of them didn't believe. That is not how someone is saved. That is not how someone knows God. It's not the outward things. Now, I know Jesus did miracles. He gave sight to the blind. He raised the dead. He calmed the storm on the sea. And I know He gave bread in an amazing way to 5,000 people. And I know sometimes there are strange things that the prophets heard, the voice of God, seeing visions, seeing dreams. Those are not false. But that's not what it means at the heart of knowing God or seeing God or coming to God. That's not the heart of faith. What John says in verse 14, let's read it again. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen His glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. What does His glory mean? Does it mean when He went on the mountain and He was transfigured before Peter, James, and John? I don't think so. Now, He showed His glory. They saw His glory there, but I don't think that's what He means, because only three of them saw it. And He said, don't tell anyone until after I rise from the dead. What is His glory? How do you see the glory of God? Full of grace and truth. You see it through the grace of Jesus, through the truth of Jesus. And this is perhaps the main point today. This is how, as believers, we have true faith. Remember Thomas touched the holes in his hands? Or he wanted to touch the holes in his hands. He wanted to touch the hole in his side. And you remember when Jesus showed up and He said, here I am. Touch my hands. Touch my side. And Thomas said, my Lord and my God. But Jesus said, do you now believe? Blessed are those who did not see and yet believed. Seeing the glory of Jesus is not about seeing it with your eyes. We've never seen Him with our eyes, yet we love Him and we believe in Him and we have true faith in Him. How is that possible? Because we behold His glory in His grace and His truth. These two words, grace and truth, this is only found in Jesus. Grace and truth. You won't find grace and you won't find truth anywhere else. But when you find it in Jesus Christ, your heart, your mind, your soul knows this is the Son of God. This is who God is. This is the path of God. This is the truth of God. This is the way. I found him. They said it when they met him, and we say it when we meet him by faith, when we hear his word, when we hear the gospel. Grace, what does grace mean? Grace means when you get a gift. It's when God gives something to you for free. He gives you something good. When Jesus came, he was giving something good. He had grace like no man ever had before. He had something good to give. Look in verse 17. Verse 16 and 17. From his fullness, we've all received grace upon grace. In the Old Testament, there was grace. But in Jesus Christ, there was grace upon grace. There was so much grace. He gave something so good that we have to stand back and wonder and be amazed. This is the Son of God. Look at the gift that he gives. His grace. The law was given through Moses. What did Moses give? It was good. It was right. He gave the law. Don't dishonor God. Don't sin. Don't do these things that are wrong. Follow this path. Do right. Live righteously. He gave the law and it was good. But Jesus gave grace and truth. And this word, grace and truth, both are used. One in verse 14 and again in verse 17. I think this is important. We know that Jesus is God. We know that Christianity is true. We know that the Bible is real. Our faith is not a creation of man. It's true because Jesus came full of grace. What did he give? He gave us salvation. The Savior of the world. He fixed the biggest problem that there's ever been in the world. The problem of sin. This book and this Gospel of John is all about how Jesus Christ came to save from sin, to give salvation free as a gift. And when you hear that and you believe, it is because you're seeing his glory. There's no gift like that in all the world. There's no treasure like that in all the world. If I could have forgiveness of sins, if God could wash away my evil deeds, that would be the greatest gift. Jesus gives eternal life. Jesus gives forgiveness. Jesus gives love from God the Father. It doesn't come from anyone else. It doesn't come from any other source. It's grace. It is the greatest gift. And that's how we know when we hear the gospel, it's true. You'll never find a gospel like our gospel. All the good news of the other religions and out in the world are just garbage. They're not good news. And I'll tell you something else. They're not grace. I know that in these other religions, they promise something like happiness and heaven and eternal life. But you have to work. It's not grace. It's not free. You have to work. You have to obey. Do this and you will live. If you measure up, if you are righteous, then God will accept you. That's not grace. That's another reason why when we hear the message of Jesus, it grabs our heart. We can't forget it because it's saying God loves us even though we're in this sinful world. Even though I'm a sinner, even though my heart is black and I broke his law, God would still love me and his son would die for me. It's a free gift. And so we're drawn to Jesus Christ. That's who God really is. That's the way he is. Those other religions, that's what man thinks. Man is proud, so he comes up with religions that make you proud. If you do good, you get a reward. You feel lots of pride. If you don't do good, you're cast away. That's from man. The true path of God, the true way of God is that God is a God of grace. And he gives the free gift of salvation through his son. Not earned, not bought, not of works, free salvation from the cross of Jesus Christ. That's what made John say, He is the only Son of God. He is the Word of God. He was in the beginning with God. He is God. Jesus says, Come to me, all you who are weary, and I will give you rest. That's His grace. Jesus says, Whoever believes in me shall not die, but have everlasting life. That's His grace. Like the story I told at the dinner the other night, the woman touched the small piece of His cloak, of His robe. She was healed. That's His grace. She didn't do any big work. She didn't do anything special. She just touched Him. Faith is just a tiny touch. It's just getting near Jesus. Even just looking in His direction, and you will be saved. There's no work in salvation. It's grace. And that's how we know. Even though we've never seen the resurrection, even though maybe some of you have never seen dreams or visions, or heard some voice whispering in your ear, we see His glory in His grace. And we thank God. I thank God that He gives us this Bible. Even 2,000 years after Jesus came, we have His Word. It shows us His grace and truth. Truth is the last thing. When we see the truth of Jesus, we know He is the way. There is no one else. There is nothing else. He is the image of God. Everything He said was perfect. Everything Jesus said is true. Everything He said is wise. It's right. When you hear it, when you read it, it speaks to your heart. Why? Because it is the Word of God. It's truth. And when you read the Bible, it grabs your heart and it creates faith. How can it do that? You just read a book and you didn't have faith, you didn't believe, and then you read it and now you do believe? How did that happen? Because it's true. Truth will create your faith. Truth is so strong that even when you hear it and you can't see it, you know it. That's the way truth is. And Jesus Christ was full of truth. He spoke the truth about who God is, His Father, the nature of God. He spoke the truth about man. Man is not some righteous being working his way to heaven. Man is a sinner. Man is a rebel. Man is in the dark. He spoke the truth. He spoke the truth about sin. He spoke the truth about righteousness. He spoke the truth about salvation and forgiveness, eternal life, heaven, hell, prayer, faith. Everything Jesus said was perfect. Now, I realize when you read the Old Testament, it's true. It's also true, fully. But when you read Jesus Christ, it is the culmination. It is the clearest revelation. It's the difference between seeing the shadow and seeing the form, seeing the man. Everything in the Old Testament is true, but it's much harder to understand. It's much less clear. And then when Jesus comes, His truth, you cannot forget His words. You cannot throw it away. Someone tells you one thing that He said, and it follows you through your life until you bow your knees to it, because it's the truth. About every area of life, about every area of God and our relationship with Him. Don't you love the Bible, His Word, His truth? When you read it, when I read it, it speaks to me, it touches me. It's true. It commands my faith. Faith comes by hearing the words of Jesus in this book. Jesus said, "For I did not speak on my own initiative, but the Father himself, who sent me, has given me a commandment as to what to say and what to speak." That's the difference between Jesus and every other man and every other teacher and all of the other people that men believe and follow. They speak their own words from their own mind, their own plan, their own religion, their own creation, their own ideas. But Jesus spoke the words the Father gave him to speak, exactly showing us God's will, God's ways, God's kingdom. You remember what the disciples said? Jesus said, "Do you want to leave me? Do you want to go away from me with all these people and forsake me?" And they said, "Lord, to whom will we go? You have the words of eternal life." They knew this: "Lord, we cannot leave you. No one has ever said anything like what you've said. We've never heard truth like this. Lord, even if it's hard, we have to stay with you." They knew he had the truth. They knew his words were from the Father. And that's what it means to be a believer too, is when you realize you can trust Jesus. This is not a fairy tale. This is not a religion of man. It is God speaking to you. And you can trust him. So now I'm finished. And I would say this as an application. Do you know God personally? You can know God. The only way to know God is through Jesus Christ. He is the Word. He is the image. That's why he came, that you would not stay in the darkness. He shows his grace and truth to you, that you would believe, even without seeing him. Believe in him. Not by dreams, not by miracles, not by all these mighty, powerful things that get people excited for a while, but not truly converted many times. But by grace, his love, his free gift, by truth in the scriptures. My advice to you is seek the Lord and you will find him. He is found here. This is the introduction of John's book, John's gospel. You'll find him here. John said, "We found him. We found him. The Son of God, the one that Moses spoke about, the one that the prophets spoke about, we found him." You can find him too. That's why John wrote this book. You can hear his voice in your heart by faith and know he is who he is. And be saved. We've all found him the same way. Every Christian finds God, finds Christ the same way. We hear him, we see him, full of grace and truth. And by faith, we take hold of him. We come to him. Christian, my application for you is this: realize what you have. You have the greatest treasure, the knowledge of God, friendship with God, and trust him more and more. Each day, you can trust his words. You can trust his grace. You can trust his promises. You can trust everything he said. It's true. He is the Word of God. He is the Son of God. So, as believers, may we not look to the things, try to walk by sight, but may we walk by faith and trust him more and more every day. Amen. Let's pray. Father in heaven. We are so glad to be in your kingdom and not in the darkness. Lord, our lives were so worthless before you. Father, we don't ever want to go back. We don't want to be without this grace and truth. We don't want to be where we were. Oh Lord, keep us in Jesus Christ. Thank you for sending your Son. Lord, your ways, your plan is perfect in the fullness of time to send Christ to be born of a woman. Lord, we have seen your glory, but we want to see it more. Show us more of your glory. And Father, we pray for the lost in this room. Show them, Lord, your Son. Give them faith. Break the power of sin that holds them. Use your word. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.